The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Chulin. Masechet Chulin has been dedicated by our good friend Mr. Joey Jamal and his wife in honor of their son's Jack engagement to Shirley Sutton. Bazat Hashem, she get married b'sha'at tova u'muslachat. And Zechut of the Limud that we are going to have for the next several months in Masechet Chulin. They should enjoy a lot of Nachat, Shalom Bayit, peace, prosperity, and all the Berachot. Amen. Daf Tzadi Zayin. Today's daf is being studied, Le'inu Nishmat, Avraham ben Esther, Rabbi Moshe ben Luna. Ruach Hashem Tenichem Began Eden. Amen. Shani Chelev De Mefa'peya. Famous rule. Chelev is Mefa'peya. What does Mefa'peya mean? It spreads. Nashi Bela'az, like bubbles. It moves. It spreads. Nashi says Bela'az Trish Nish Mibatzbetz. That's it. It bubbles. Ve'olech with Pashit B'chol Abasar. It goes, it spreads with all the buzz, which means Gid is like a rock. It's a vein. So when you roast it, it just stays in place. It doesn't go out to the whole piece of meat. A shaken chaylev, which is like soft, it's mefapeya. It bubbles up and it goes out to the whole basar. Oh, so the Gemara says, is that so? Ube chaylev, asur, is that so? Ve'amar avar hana. Uvda, hava kemed Rabbi Yohanan. There was a story that happened in front of Rabbi Yohanan. Bikinishta de Ma'on. In the Bet Knesset of Ma'on. Bigdi, she said, oh, behind what had a gdi, and they roasted it with its fat. Vatu, Vishadu, Rabbi Yohanan, and they asked Rabbi Yohanan, Ba'amar, Kodef, Uchil, Achimagel, Halbo. He said, eat it up until you get to the Chaylev. Just keep on shaving it and eat it until you get to the Chaylev. Ah, but what do you mean? You just told me Chaylev is Pashet Bekulo. How you tell me you can eat it all the way until you get to the Chaylev? Ahu, Kahushaba. That gdi over there was a lean gdi. And therefore, actually, therefore, when do we say chaylev is mefapeya and fat chaylev? In a lean animal, the fat is also very, very lean, and then puts that mefapeya. It doesn't go across. She kula bechalba aviyavisharia mishum de mafsik. Okay, that's a different story. Okay, given that says Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Amar, another answer. Kulia bechalba hava visharia. That over there was a kulia. What's a kulia?
Kidney.
That was roasted with its chaylev that was on it. Now, even though the chaylev that's on the kulya is fatty, however, it's not mifapeya into the kidney because there's a membrane. The membrane is separated between the chaylev and the kulya, and therefore it stops it from going in. So he roasted the chaylev on top of the kulya. So what did the rabbi tell him? Eat the kidney up until you get to the chaylev. Ah, but I thought the chaylev was mefapeya. It is mefapeya, but it can't break the membrane. So since it can't break the membrane, you have nothing to worry about. Third answer, Davin Barav Ada Amar Kilchit Beilfas Hava. It was a small little dag tameh, a small little fish that was found in a ilfas. That's a pot that they cooked meat. Ve'atu Shailuha the Rabbi Yohanan. And he went and they asked Rabbi Yohanan, can you eat this fish that you cooked in the pot that they cooked meat? And he said, let a goy taste it. Which means, I guess they were cooking meat in there as well. Now you cannot have this dag tameh, right, because it's dag tameh. So the dag, it wasn't chedev. We thought it was chedev. It wasn't chedev. What happened? It was actually a dag tameh. That small little fish that fell into the pot of meat. And they came to the rabbi, they said, Rabbi, can we eat the meat? So he said, well, if there's a flavor of this dag tameh in the meat, so it's a problem. Well, who's going to taste it? So he said, go give it to a goy. Let the goy taste it. And if it doesn't taste anything, it's mutar. Rashi, kilchit sheket dagim ketanim. Be'ilfas shel basar, v'tameh kefron, nahtom ovet kulchavim. Nahtom is like a professional taster. Last time a goy. Someone that's baki in right, like a chef, exactly. Veshmeina de mutar de smuch alav. That's hadush, by the way, this Gemara. You can trust a goy lefi tumo. Don't tell him. Oh, listen, we need to know if you taste any fish in this thing over here because we're not allowed to eat it. Then he's tipped off. So you got to tell him, taste the basar of it. What do you think? Oh yeah, I taste the ולא יודיעו שצריכים לו לדבר איסור ויתר, which means the goy is believed according to Rashi, the way he's telling us, Masiyah lefi tumo. You can believe him without giving him too much information. Taste this. So where's the taste like? Without telling him Yisur Vidir. Could be you could tell him, do you taste any fish? But he doesn't have to know why you're asking him that. Don't tell, because we're not allowed to have the doctor, man. Do you taste fish over there? Yeah, no. They should know the ramifications. So they put three answers to the question. Okay, comes again with us. Amarava. Originally he had a question on the following braita. Classic case. You have a meat pot. We call a meat pot. Kedirah that you cooked basar. Lo yibashel ba halav. You can't cook milk in a meat pot. Okay, we know that already. The im bishel, if you did, you cook milk in a meat pot, what's the din? Binoten ta'am. If the meat in the walls of the pot, when you cook it, comes out, if it's going to give flavor into the milk, then already it's going to be a subinotin ta'am. Now, similarly, teruma lo yibashil bacholin. You have a pot, you cook teruma in it. Okay, kohenim can eat teruma, but a regular can eat teruma. So now you cook cholin in it, so now the cholin has a flavor of teruma that's coming out of the walls. Ve'im bishil benotin ta'am, same thing. You go with according to the top. So the Gemara says, bishlama teruma ta'im la kohen. I understand. I have this cholin. Who's going to taste it? Give it to a kohen. If it's teruma, the kohen is allowed to taste it for you. So, I taste the teruma there. However, el basar b'halav man ta'ime. You're telling me, you cook milk in a meat pot, taste it. What do you mean? Who can taste it? You can't taste it. Who's going to taste it? But now that you just told me that you have a goy, kefela, they call it, the kefela, that's a professional taster. Hashta de amar of Yohanan, samchina na kefela arama'a. You rely on a goy, taster, hachanami samchina kefela arama'a. And that's the Gemara's first rule. We always understood 60, the rule of 60. You have 60, no problem. No, the Gemara's first rule really is get a goy and let him taste it. Which means we don't care 60, not 60. Could sound like according to this. The first rule is if he tastes it, sounds like even if there is 60 against it. And even if there's less than 60 and he doesn't taste it, it'll be okay. Because the Gemara's mantra is not an inyan of 60. It's a yana, give it to the goy flavor. He tastes it, he doesn't taste it. No. Okay. So comes the one says. Okay, that's it. Samkina kefirah, beautiful. Comes the one says. Amaraba. Amura banan betama. Here we go. Amura banan bekefirah. Which means, sometimes the rabbi said, when Isur gets mixed up in Heter, you go with taste. Meaning, is the ta'am nikar or not? Which means you taste it. And sometimes the rabbi said that you gotta go to a kefirah, to a chef of a goy, and decide. Now she says, sometimes they use the words, noten ta'am, and sometimes they use the words, kefirah. Give it to a girl. So there's different words there. Sometimes noten ta'am, and sometimes kefirah. Kefirah is the chef. The amud abanan b'shishim. And sometimes the rabbi say 60. So how do you square this off over here? Hilkach. So now we're going to square all these statements off. You understand? Sometimes the rabbi say noten ta'am. Sometimes they say kefirah. And sometimes they say shishim. So the Gemara says hilkach. Therefore we have to know which cases they were talking about. So the Gemara goes one at a time. Gemara says, "Min b'she'enu bin mino de'etera," which means, let's say teruma, which is mutar for kohen, got mixed up with cholin. That's also permissible for the kohen. Let's say he cooked cholin in the teruma pot, so no ten ta'am, meaning give it to kohen to taste. No ten ta'am to Israel to a kohen, because that's the case where the kohen is able to taste it. Min b'she'enu bino. Because there's a taste then, because they're two different taste items. Mean machine means two items that are different tastes, so you'll be able to discern the taste. But no ten time, give it to the Kohen, and they'll be able to tell you. Betama de Isura. Oh. Now, when it says betama, which means that you give it to a Jew to taste it, what's that case talking about? The Isura. I'm sorry. Mean machine, you know the Tera? Betama. The isura bekefela. If you have meat, you know, milk and meat, like say, gets mixed up together, it's isura. Then you give it to the goy. Min bimino. But let's say you have two like items, so there's no ta'am. Because two like items, nobody can tell the difference because it's all the same taste. The lekale mekama ta'ama, where you can't tell the taste. Inamim min b'she'enamino de'isura deleka kefila, or a milk and meat case, but there's no goy available. B'shishim. It's an amazing thing. According to the Gemara, the shishim is only a backup when you don't have a kefila. Please, I have milk in the meat pot. The first din of the Gemara is get the goy. Go to the baker, tell him, do you taste it? Ah, there's no goy around. Ah, then you can rely on shishim. That's the din of the Gemara. Okay, read all these nashis on top over here. Amur abanam b'shishim, perek patat wa'alchazara, paskin al-cheta, v'chosim shbatorah, v'masa ba'ala b'mashar esulim b'shishim. That says, the number is shishim. 60. Mim she'enu mino...
שאדם יכול להבחין טעמו, שניהם של היתר שיכול בין ברית לטעמו, כגון תרומה בחולין.
וטעמה, גבתו כהן.
יתרימנו כהן, אם אין תרומה נותנת טעם בחולין, יוכל לתפשיר אף לזרים.
But if the Kohen says, I don't taste any תרומה, they feed it even to a regular Israel. נסורה, כמו מסר בחלב.
שאין בו ברית.
שאין בין ברית.
יכול לטעמו, סמכין על הכפלה.
Right, go to a goy.
ומין במינו בין דתרה ובין דיסורה דלק להתחין טעמו
אינמה
מין שאינו מינו דיסורה ולק כפלה עובד כוכבים לטעמה משאלין בשישים.
Okay, so that's the story. Those are all the name over here. Okay, one step further. הנאו את מהתה דאמליחו ברש גלותה בגידן נשיה. What do? They salted pieces of meat next to the Rosh HaGolan Bavel, and there was Gida Nashe inside. And they didn't take the Gida Nashe, they salted. Now we know salting does something to the meat. Maybe salting is like cooking it, because it causes it to maybe get hot somehow. So therefore we want to know now, you salted the meat with the Gida Nashe, what's the deen? Rabina Asad. Rabina says can't eat it. Rabaha Barab Shari. Okay, Mahloket. Atu Shailua Lemor Baravashe Amadiu Abba, he said, my father said, his father was Ravashe, he said, Shari, it's okay. Rashi. Rashi says, nothing. Continue. Amale Ravaha Bar Rav Rabina. My Datech, what's your logic regarding these salted pieces of meat? Tamar Shemuel Malia Hareu Kiroteya. Very good. When you salt something, it's like you cooked it. Malia hareu kerotayah. Kavush, when you pickle something in vinegar or in spices, hareu kimbushal. It's like you cooked. So actually, roteya is like roasting it. So salting is like roasting, and kavush, pickling, is like cooking. So therefore, in this case over here, it's like you heated it up. And therefore, what's going to happen? The ghee is going to go throughout the whole yerech. Oh, continue. Amar Shmuel, lo shanu ela shenitbashel ba, aban nitzle ba, kol efo chelat shemegiye lagid. You told me a minute ago on the Hamud Rishon that only when you cook it does the ghee go throughout the whole piece of meat. But when you roast it, you can eat up to the ghee itself. So why did you tell me the whole ghee is asur over here? You're right, salting it is like roasting it. But roasting it doesn't make it asur. Roasting allows you to eat up to the ghee itself. So the Gemara says, "V'chitem amay kiroteh de amar kiroteh kemushal." Maybe when it says "maliyah" is like roteyah, it means roteyah of mevushal. Can't be. Why? V'hamid the Gemara kavushal ehu kemushal mechla roteyah the slika amar. From the fact that it said pickling is like cooking, must be that salting that's not like cooking. Salting must be like roasting. And therefore, why you tell me the whole ghee is asur? The chaura, it should be able to eat up until the ghee itself. The Gemara says, indeed, it is a kashya. And therefore, technically, it should be permissible. Now again, the case over here was, they wanted to send all the pieces of meat. Even though, let's say, some had ghee and Hashem, maybe some didn't, because the ghee and Hashem flavor is going to go through all the pieces of meat. They were all in the same... Understand, the flavor goes through, because you're putting the salt on all of them, so the flavor is going to travel through all of them. Well, why is the flavor going to travel through all of them? It's not mibushal, it's only kiroteya. So he says, "V'im ken yesh lenkot alachek v'navacha, sham medicha ena mafnita etam ha'isu lechol ha'tichot." That the salt is not going to put the meat, the flavor into all the ha'tichot. It only keeps it in its ha'ticha itself, and in the ha'ticha itself, you'll be able to eat up to the ghee itself. That's a very important alacha. That when you're salting something, we don't see the isu travels throughout the whole kedera. Amar Rabbi Hanina. Okay, one more piece here. So what do we say? We say you go 60. You have Isur and Heter. There's no goy to taste it, let's say. So we say you go 60. If you have 60 times Heter against the Isur, you're okay. You can eat it. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Hanina, Kishehen Mesha'arin. When they measure the shishim against the isur, misharim berotev ubakifeh ubakifa, which means you count gravy, and you count also the pieces of meat, you count the spices, you count all the stuff that's in the kedera ubahatichot, and of course you count the pieces of meat themselves ubakedera, and the kedera itself. What does that mean? And the kedera itself. Which means if you have 60, with everything that's in the pot, you have the yisur over there. I count meat, spices, gravy, and when you're cooking it, all of it goes together. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Kesheim misharin ha yisur b'shishim misharin oto shiye bo echad b'shishim b'rotem b'kipa b'hatichot b'kedera kipa dak shel basar." That's minced the meat. It's a little piece of meat with tamarin and some spice that gets caught on the bottom of the pot. Hametasim shel kedera. And therefore, and the kedera itself, I guess. I don't know what that means with the kedera itself yet. Ika de amre va kedera atzma. Aha. When it says kedera, what does it mean kedera? I was going to explain. Some say the thickness of the kedera itself. What does that mean? The thickness of the kedera. We'll see. Ika de amre b'may de bala'a kedera. Which means, let's say you have a kedera. Let's go to the second explanation. The kedera swallowed heter. So therefore, when you're cooking, heter comes out of the walls of the pot. So you can mitzaref the stuff that's coming out of the walls of the pot to go to count in your 60.
How do you know how much
that
is?
The whole wall. It's everything. You mitzaref the whole thing. So therefore, if you go with my dibala akedera, I understand. The thickness of the wall, whatever the kedera is, bolaya. So therefore, you're going to go 60. You count that as part of the 60. The first shita says what? Bekidera atzma. So that's how he explains. Hata'am shel hatichat ha'isur mitpashit gam letok defanot ha'kedera. Which means the flavor of isur is going into the walls of the pot itself. Ufichach mitstarfim gam et obiyat defanot shi'ur ha'eter. V'im yesh pesach hu shishim pa'an kereg la'isur matirim et tafshish mekedera. Which means you factor in the because I guess the pot also takes. Which means, just like the food takes a ta'am, doesn't the walls itself of the pot take the ta'am of the isur? So that you can count that as part of the 60. Which means, make believe the metal is heter. That's what it's saying. Which means, have a piece of isur. So now, the isur goes in the meat, the isur goes in the spices, the isur goes in the gravy, the isur goes in the metal pot. So I count the metal with the heter stuff to go against the isur. That's part of the 60. Understand that part? Second shot is, what does that mean? The fi piruse mityahasim the v'chayinam the mikresh shenimsa isur betavshir le'achar shenitbashel, which means in this case over here you cooked something and you found the isur in the pot after you cooked it. Ve'lo haya al shishim be'eter kenegdo, there was no 60 against it. Which is at the time of the cooking, some heter definitely went into the walls of the pot as well. Which means, at the time that you were cooking, there was more in the pot. But some of the heter got swallowed in the walls of the pot. Now you're coming after, you see the isur, say, oh, there's no 60. But if you look at the heter that got absorbed in the walls of the pot, you'll have 60. So according to that shita, you're able to count the absorbed heter, even though now it's not there. Because you say it was there. Look at Rashi. B'maydi bar'a kedera, im ra'inu, kishenafal sham kodim shinit ma'et. You saw the isur fall in there. And you know everything before it evaporated. We analyze how much did the pot itself swallow from the heter. There was much more. And then as the cooking process took place, it must have got swallowed into the walls. So therefore, according to this opinion, you only judge the heter that's falling, but you don't judge the walls, the metal itself. So it's chumrah. You're getting much less. So the Gemara, so what does she say? Ufi, last line here, that she says, since we have a machloket in the two lishanot, the isura deoraitai, and we're dealing over here with isur deoraitai, because if you don't have 60, it's isur, aznina lechumra, velo misharina bekedera. You don't use the metal of the pot to go against the 60. Veikara davar kemot chuba lefanenu misharina ne, velo misharina bemaide barakedera menater, and you don't go according to the bidia either. You go according to what it comes to you now. Bashir Usham, it comes to you, you don't have 60, you're out. You don't say, well, when it fell in, some of there was more. Wow, the fish happened, I soon the blah. Because the isun also went into the pot.
So how could you use the wall?
Then it might be the command. The Gemara is going to ask that question. That question is going to come up. Atu hetera bala, isura lo bala. But you're telling me, oh, you can count the heter that fell in. But guess what? Isun also fell into the walls of the pot. So therefore, just like you're counting the, you're growing the heter, you have to grow the isur. No, we're leaving the isur the way it is, and we're growing the heter to make it 60. The Gemara is going to ask that question. Now she already tells us the halakha that we're not going to take either of these opinions. We're not going to take not the walls of the pot itself against the 60, nor are we going to take the heter that got swallowed in order to go against the 60 itself. So the Gemara continues. Again, we're in Sadi Zayin Amud Bet. Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Kol Isurim Sheba Torah, all the Isurim of the Torah, Misha'arin, we calculate them if they fall into Heter. So how do you calculate them? Ki'ilu en Batzal veKaflut. As if they were onions, or Kaflut would be, like we said in the Mishnah, we call it turnips. These are sharp items that give ta'am to what they fall into. So you imagine that the isur is, let's say, an onion, and the other stuff would be, let's say, meat. And if the size of this was an onion, would give ta'am into a piece of meat, so then already you know that this is going to be isur. That's the way you calculate it. Can we have to give a calculation? How, you know, isur falls into that? How do I know if it's going to be mutar or not? Now, obviously, we're talking about, well, there's no ta'am. If there was ta'am, let somebody taste it. Let's say it was mimimino. Let's say it was two items that have the same taste. Or like we learned yesterday, there was no kefilah. There's no goy to taste it, let's say. So in that case, over there, the rabbi said, you know what, we're giving you a standard shi'ur. They don't tell you 60 yet. They just tell you the shi'ur is, like if the isur was an onion or a turnip and it fell to something else, would it give ta'am or not? Look at Rashi. She says, according to Surim Shabbat Torah, Lebad, that's right, which means we learned in Mishnah that Gida Nasheh, the rabbis calculated it as lefet. Lefet is a turnip. And all other isurim, they're looking at it as an onion, and what do they say, kaflut is? A leek. Okay, fine. So those are also items that have a little sharpness to them. She says, "Mesharin and otam ki idu a isur batzal or kaflut." We look at the isur as either it's an onion or a leek. The idu ayano ten tam beheter zichlet bashedaim osro. And if it would give tam into it, it would be osro. Ubaach isurin de lo matzilim mitaraminu kaamar. We're talking about isurim that you cannot taste them. Kegon min bemino. When the same items, so the same items, you can't taste it, you can't tell the difference. Or it's eno mino, and there's no professional taster. So the rabbis gave the shi'ur. So the Gemara asked the question, Amar le Rabbi Abba la Abaye, v'lesha'arinu bepilpilin v'tibalin, dafidu be'elif lo betilin. Why did you pick batzal and onion? Why don't you pick spices like peppers and different types of sharp spices that even 1,000 is not going to be batil? Jeez, this shi'ur basically will get you to 60 about. That was the shi'ur the rabbis calculated. And if you put batzal into something and basically if you have 60 against it, it's going to knock out the ta'am of the onion. Why'd you pick an onion? Pick a pepper that even if you have 1,000 against it, it's not going to be batel. Where did you get the shi'ur of onion? Maybe it's a pepper, maybe it's something sharper that takes more to batel. המלא שיערו חכמים תהן נותן טעם בסולין יותר מבשר וכפתור. זה גם אם אין מיני שיעור, they made a calculation that no matter what the איסור is, if it falls into something, it's not going to give a טעם more than the ratio of an onion or a leek to whatever it falls into. That was a calculation. Bottom line, it's not going to give tam in this ratio. Amar of Nachmat, gid b'shishim, ve'en gid min aminyan. Okay, if a gid and nasher falls into a pot of gids, let's say, you have a bunch of gids now. It was a gid and nasher in there. So you want to mevatel it. So how much you need against it? You need 60 against the gid. But the gid itself is in min aminyan. You can't count the gid as part of the 60. It's 6, so 61 basically. It's 60 plus the gid hanashe. Gid b'shishim ve'en gid min aminyan. That she says, first wide line, t'ba'inan shishim deheter levar mine. No chadush in that. That we understand. The chadush is going to be the next line. Continue the next line. Kachal b'shishim ve'kachal min aminyan. What's kachal? The udder. The udder of the animal is called the kachal. The udder is a piece of meat that has milk in it. It's a strange item. So milk and meat items combined together. The meat is heter and the milk is heter. Now, what happened? That piece of udder fell into a pot of meat. Now, what are you worried about? The milk is going to come out of the udder, and the milk is going to go now and make basar b'halav throughout the whole pot. So the deen is like this. You need 60 against the milk. So the hadush is you could use the udder meat itself as part of your 60 to go against its own milk. Why can't you use the gid ha-nasheh, and you can use the udder? Simple reason, you just said it. Because the gid is isur, gid ha-nasheh. Masheken, the meat of the udder is not isur. It's the milk that's the isur that's going out, and therefore you could use the udder meat itself combined with the other meat in the pot to mevatel the milk that's coming out. So again, kachal b'shishim. You need 60. V'kachal min ha-minyan. But the kachal itself is part of the minyan. Betzah b'shishim. V'en betzah min ha-minyan. Also, betzah is b'shishim. Which sounds like a simple law, which Gemara will have to analyze for us. Betzah is 60. Betzah tameh, let's say. You have a betzah that's tameh. Falls into a betzim that are tehurim. All in there. You want to mevatel it. So you need 60 against the betzah. And you don't count the betzah. Of course you don't count the betzah, because the betzah is isur. Okay. Amar bishak bered rav mesharshia. The kahal atzmo asur. But the kahal itself is asur. Which means, you had a kahal. Then it fell into a pot. So we said, if you have 60, including the kahal itself, you can include the kahal to go against the milk that comes out of it. It's mevatel. That's okay. But the kahal itself you can't eat. Why not? Because the kahal itself, the meat of the kahal is going to go into its own milk. It has milk in there. So some of the kahal and its own milk, the meat is much more than the milk. And therefore the meat is going to give flavor in the milk. And therefore if you're going to eat the kahal itself, for sure you're going to have some milk in there. And that milk has flavor of basar in there. And therefore you cannot eat the kahal itself. Understand why you can't eat the kahal? Because the meat of the kahal is going to go into the milk of the kahal. Not that the meat is yisur. It's the milk that's going to be yisur. And there's no way you can eat this kahal without eating some of the meat. So although you can eat everything else in the pot, you got to take out the kahal itself. The kahal is forbidden. No, gidan asher, if you know where it is, of course you take it out. If you don't know where it is, then it's batel. You don't pot, that's bitul. That's bitul. If you don't know where it is, batel barov binatura. Have three gids. Yeah, so that's the regular bitul. If I have one taref hamburger and two glatt kasher hamburgers and they mixed up minatora batel barov. Yes, that's never a mitzvah to eat it, but you can't eat it.
Wait, like only the milk is
asur
and the kahal.
No, the kahal atzmo, the kahal itself is asur, because you're not going to be able to eat the kahal without eating some of the milk. How you can eat the kahal without eating the milk?
Same way a person normally eats.
Not the same way. How could you eat the kahal without the... How can you eat the meat? The meat and the milk is mixed up in this, together. No, the kahal is asur. The milk that comes out of the kahal, you have 60 against it. But the kahal itself, you can't eat because the meat of the kahal itself went into the milk.
The milk from itself went into it.
Right. No, the meat of the kahal went into the milk.
Of course, boys, the kahal asur.
That would make the milk asur.
That would make the milk
asur. You're right, yeah. Because you can't eat the kahal without eating the milk.
It's
No, no, no problem. I'm saying, so that's it. So the kahal is asur.
Right, kahal is asur, because it's impossible to eat this kahal.
Even if you didn't cook it with
you're right, technically, if you squeeze the milk, is the problem. But so you eat the kahal, when are you going to bite into the kahal? There's milk in there. The milk is the isur, really. But go try to eat the cow without having milk.
Right.
Now, if that kahal fell into another kedera, fell into another pot, it's going to be asur as well. Understand what happened? If the kahal fell into the first pot, so all the milk, whatever milk came out, you had 60 against it, so there's no basar b'chalav, all these stuff you can eat, all this meat you can eat. But the kahal itself you can't eat, remains be isur. Now this kahal you took out, and it fell into another pot. It's also in the next pot also. So the Gemara says, Amar of Eshek, Yavinim Berav Kana, Mumirav Kana, as House of Midrash, Ibayalat Kim Sha'aninam, Bedide Mish'aninam, O Bemay Dinafik Mine Mish'aninam. Okay, when you, in the first pot, you said the cow falls in. How much, you say you need 60 against the milk. Which milk? The milk that came out of the kahal, or the whole kahal? So the Gemara says, "Well, b'shita de bedide mishaarinan." For sure, you got to go against the whole kahal. Why? The e b'mad nafik mine minayadainan. How do you know how much milk came out? So you have to assume that all the milk came out. So therefore, you need to go against all the milk of the kahal. Jeez. Otherwise, it's something else. Maybe you just need to know, let's say there's 14 ounces of milk in the kahal, so you go against the amount that came out, the 4 ounces extracted when you cooked it, so you need 60 against the 4. Well, you know, you make an experiment, how much milk came out, you can't make an x-ray on the kahal to see how much milk came out. The other Gemara says you go against all of it. So you have to assume that what? All the milk came out, you need 60 against the whole kahal. So Gemara says, "Oh yeah, ela me'ata nafana kedera acheret lo yaser." So you assume that all the milk came out in the first pot. So now this is a milkless kahal. So therefore, when it falls into the next pot, it should not oser because no more milk. All the milk you will tell in the first pot. Now this is an empty kahal; it's just a piece of meat. So why are you telling me when it falls into the next pot, it's going to be asur? Once the rabbi said that in the first pot you can't eat the kahal itself, it's not the pshat that we're going to say the kahal meat remains mutar and just the milk is the issue. Once the rabbi said the kahal is asur, they treat it like a piece of a nevela. A piece of a nevela is like a piece of non-kosher meat. The piece itself is isur. We don't say, it's what inside of it, is the piece becomes hatikah. Therefore, the whole kahal becomes isur. Therefore, even though technically you want to say all the milk came out, let's say, but it doesn't matter. Rabbi said, kahal asma asur, the whole kahal, the meat itself and everything becomes isur. Therefore, it's like a nevela, shavyar, but like hatikah the nevela, when it falls into the next spot, it's going to be the isur.
So what is arguing on what we said before, that the kahal b'shishim,
No, that's in the first part. This is the one that father kedera acheret.
In the first part.
First part. I'm worried about the milk.
Kahal, he'd consider the kahal heter.
Sure, because it's then we come isur. I need to mevatel the milk.
So milk
comes out.
So what would happen? It goes back into the kahal, or
there's still milk in the kahal.
So why isn't it isur from the beginning? If there's milk in the kahal, why isn't there isur in the first part?
Because to cook it, it's not going to become isur.
So when I'm cooking it has mutar until after I cook it.
Once I cook it, now the milk inside has the problem because the meat of this went inside it.
Right.
Although the meat itself, I was using it to mevatel whatever came out. Which means whatever came out, this meat can mevatel it.
Mm-hmm.
This meat can mevatel it. I didn't make it a hatikat isur until after the cooking. Now it's but the kahal is musul after it never falls in, and it gets 60 against the whole kahal.
So the problem is, if I cook the kahal by itself, it's also isur?
Sure. If I cook the kahal itself, because the kahal meat is going to go into the small amount of milk that's inside of it. There's more meat than milk. So the meat is going to also to
the
milk to make it meaty, and I can eat it.
Even if there's 60?
No, unless you take out the milk. And the Gemara will tell you later on, how do you kosher up a kahal to eat?
is a non-kosher kacha.
Cut it up, non-kosher kacha. This is milk. You didn't take the milk out. Sure, you cut it up in half, quarters, squeeze it against the wall, let it drain. Sure, they ate kacha. This kind of you didn't do it. You didn't do it. I have a problem. Okay, Baruch Adonai.